Wow, what a song, amen? So powerful, the words. And I just want to, I'm going to start off by saying this. I am so thankful to be here and be with you guys as a family. I know that maybe you're visiting for the first time, or maybe you're visiting family over the holidays. Maybe you've been here a long time. We're just glad that you're here. My name's Phil McKinney, one of the ministers here. And this morning, we get to again gather around the table, which is why we gather in the first place, isn't it? It's to remember and to be with Jesus in this place. Is Jesus in this place? Do you feel Jesus in this place? Do you feel Jesus in one another? You know, the best way we ever see Jesus is in how we love each other, amen? When we're loving each other, we know we're in the presence of God. Because God is what? Love. So the last few weeks, if you haven't been here, you haven't been a part of the last few Sundays, the topic has been the table, gathering around the table, and we have been really focusing in on what the table is about. Why did Jesus institute this supper? The first week, we focused on the table of remembrance, because the table is intended to be a place to come and remember. The second week, or last week, we talked about the table of fellowship, that we come together as a family. It's about the body as well. And we looked in that sermon, in that talk, about how Paul instructed the Corinthian church about the table. And an interesting aspect of that passage that Robin went over is one of the last verses that Paul utters. And he says, "For often as you eat and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. And with Paul saying until he comes, he's telling us that this is not just a table of remembrance. It's not just a table of fellowship, but it's also a table of anticipation. We're anticipating something. This feast, this celebration anticipates a greater feast of which we are all invited to, and which we hope to one day celebrate at. One that will be experienced not just for a Sunday and another Sunday, but for all eternity. The table of remembrance focuses on what God has done for us. The table of fellowship focuses on what we are doing as a family. But the table of anticipation, it focuses on what will come and be received and experienced at the Lord's table throughout eternity. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to gather around this table of anticipation. What is it that we are anticipating? So the meal, as we find out in Scripture, is a taste or a foretaste of a meal to come, something that we're looking forward to. You can call it the kingdom banquet. A lot of people call it the messianic banquet because it was talked about way back in Scripture. But we're invited, each and every one of us in this room is invited to this banquet feast. Why? Because it's a wedding feast. As the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, we are invited to this feast to meet our groom. This is what John tells us in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready,'" we being the bride. "It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is for those the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Robin mentioned this a minute ago. Blessed. We are blessed. Amen. This week, if it hasn't done anything to help you realize that you're blessed, then the week meant nothing. The meal on Thursday meant nothing because we are to have thanksgiving because of being blessed. Revelation pours out seven benedictions, and this one that we heard was one of them. John tells us that we are blessed because we are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? Just like he said, we are the disciples of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, the church. Each of us has been called to this banquet, this special meal that God has prepared for us. And it's through the gospel of Jesus and the grace that he gives us through his death, burial, and resurrection. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Y'all been to many marriage meals, marriage suppers, wedding feasts? Are they solemn? Do you sit and cry at those weddings? Or are they celebrations? They celebrate what has been brought together. A relationship that has been formed and it's supposed to last forever. Jesus himself makes a connection between the Lord's Supper and this kingdom or messianic banquet. He talks about it in several places, actually, but two I want to really talk about. The first one's in Luke 22. Just before he shares the communion with his disciples, this is what Jesus says. I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I won't eat of it again. I'm going to share this with you, but I won't eat of it again until I share it with you forever. And as we've learned over the last few weeks, Jesus connects the Lord's Supper with the Passover meal. But he also connects the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal, with this banquet meal, with this marriage feast. Jesus wants to teach us that the Lord's Supper foreshadows something that's so much better, and that will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He says it again as they're drinking the blood of the new covenant. And he says this to him in Matthew 26, 29. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. New, because something's going to be made new. And we're going to talk about that more in a minute. But I will get to share with this with you forever. Jesus is waiting for a great celebration. Are you guys waiting for a great celebration? Something that throws away all the stuff that's going on in this world that's beaten us down. Something new. He can't wait to bring his bride before his Father. Can't wait for it. He wants to celebrate it. And so he promises not to celebrate it until that day when he comes, we're reunited with him, and we can celebrate together the salvation that he brought forth for each of us. The promise is not yet fulfilled. And so we are what? Waiting. We can celebrate it in part, but not in full, just yet. And so we're waiting for and anticipating this reunion and this celebration when we come to this table together. So it's not sadness, it's joy. It's, man, we get to be with Jesus in this celebration in part now, but in full later. But while we're waiting, we've got to live with eternity in our minds. We're entering, like Jacob said and Robin alluded to, we're entering this season of Advent. Advent season is just this time of waiting. It was that waiting for Jesus to come, and now we're in it and for waiting for his return. But it's waiting. We do not wait as those without hope, though, do we? We wait as those with hope in this time. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what we're encountering. What takes us through the waiting is the hope of Jesus Christ. Confident that a banquet, a celebration is being prepared for each and every one of us. There's a seat at that table with your name on it. How about that? One amen? Wow. There's a seat at that table with your name on it. I can't wait for that. I long for it. I remember when I was younger, and my dad, when he would get up and say prayers, and even just in any prayer he would pray, my dad would pray, please come now. And I would get so mad at that prayer because I had so many things I wanted to do. I hadn't done them yet. And it literally almost made me feel nervous. I pray that prayer now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I want to be in my seat at your table. I want to surround you. I want to be with you forever, because nothing on this earth will compare to that. Nothing. Paul tells the Colossians, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, raised, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. I didn't know when I was young, and I didn't like my dad's prayer, that my mind was on things on the earth. Now my heart and my mind more so are on things that are above, where I want to be, who I want to be with. If you remember, the Passover meal was not only about remembering and celebrating as a community, but it was also about this anticipation, waiting for God to rescue his people again, finally, forever. That's a big part of the Lord's Supper, but we often neglect it. We're sitting thinking about things that often actually get us sad. But we sang a song last week, if y'all remember. It's usually sung about the Lord's Supper, and it's the song called Come Share the Lord, right? We sang it last week. And there's a line in that that says, now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread. Come drink the wine. Come share the Lord. What are we anticipating? The song's not just saying we're waiting for the next time we eat the Lord's Supper. We're anticipating a feast awaiting us. It is a feast that was prophesied, believe it or not, all the way back in Isaiah. All the way back there. Listen to this, Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. Sound good? A feast, listen to this, a feast of well-aged wine. Sorry, teetotalers. Because this ain't going to be no watered-down wine. It's going to be well-aged wine, rich. A rich food, full of marrow, an aged wine, well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. What is that covering? Here's what it is. The veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up what? Death. Forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from your faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. I want that feast right now, don't you? The feast when your crying eyes will be no more. The feast when your bowed head will be lifted up. The feast when your shrunk shoulders will be lifted up and held. If we live with eternity in mind, we live wanting others to join us in that feast. At least I got a seat. But I want this person and that person over there to have a seat with their name on it. We want to extend hope to others, not hold it for ourselves. So as we are in the season of waiting
for the Lord's return, to sit and eat at that table. We are being asked by God to go out and invite people to the banquet. How are you doing with that? This is what Jesus said. They're all sitting around, they're having a meal, and one of the people says this. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God," this anticipated feast. But here's what Jesus said back to this disciple. "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they alike began to make excuses because their minds were not on the things above, but on the things on the earth. The first said, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me.' The second said, 'I have 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go examine them. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, bring them all.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded us has been done, and there's still room. And there's still room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways, the hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house, my table may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who have been invited shall taste my banquet.'" There's a meal, there's a table prepared for all of us, prepared for all of us. And it's not just for us in this church, or us in the churches of Christ, or us fill in the blank. Who's the meal prepared for? Everyone. And we are supposed to go invite them. Those who live with eternity in mind, that they'll know they have been called to invite as many as possible to this feast. Because it's a meal of hope. We want people to have hope. At this meal, we'll share in the fellowship of hope in Christ. And so while we wait, we work. Did you hear that? I want you to hear it. While we wait, we work. We don't sit as those who have already received and have nothing left to do. We receive and give. Because it's more blessed to what? Give than receive. And then when Jesus returns, we'll sit at that table, all of us. And we'll see faces that we didn't expect. And we'll be glad. Once more, I want you to hear the words. I mean, if you have to close your eyes and visualize it, do it. This is what Isaiah said once again. "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He'll swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away for all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be." Sounds so good, huh? This promised meal is a meal of hope. And John tells us how he sees this vision revealed in Revelation 21. Listen to this. Awesome. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with us. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death will be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. The former things will have passed away, the things of this earth. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, listen to this. We talked about it a little bit a while ago. I am making all things new. All things. I'm making them new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It will be. When we finally sit at this meal of hope with God in eternity, he will have made all things new. No more tears, no more suffering, no more waiting. Only God's presence forever. Is that enough for you? Is God's presence enough? What a day that's going to be. And so we come back to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11, until he comes. Paul's words should ring loud in our ears, in our hearts, in our minds. We are to keep eating this meal and inviting as many as possible until he comes, so that we could all together be renewed sitting with him at that table. Paul's language in this text celebrates the believer's sure confidence that one day, the same one who died and rose and ascended will come back. It's a table of anticipation. So in this one sense, the table, as we've learned over the last few weeks, the table helps us to look back at the events that surrounded Jesus' death, his suffering, his betrayal. But it also, in another sense, helps us to look around, right? It helps us to recall the spiritual union, the spiritual fellowship that we are entrusted with in the present. And yet, in one other sense, it forces us to look forward, to anticipate something greater, so that as we sit at the table at that moment in the physical presence of the Lord and Jesus and our God and Father, we can now, in this moment, right here, share it in part. That while we take this together, we take it with Jesus, because he promised, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen? So what I want to do is, we move into this time, and if you haven't been here, I do want to go ahead and say this, because we're going to move straight into the time of table fellowship. We've prepared things up here. The bread and the wine is here for you. So when we move out of our meditation here in a moment, please feel free to come forward. I won't say anything. I'll just complete the meditation and you can come. If you don't, if you can't get up and come, or you feel more comfortable staying in your chair, you can do that as well. Just kind of raise your hand a little bit. There'll be people that will come and serve you as needed. We also have places on the outside. You don't have to just come forward. You can come to the outsides. But what I want to do for us as we move into this time is just do a guided meditation. As we learned from Paul, we're to examine ourselves. Where are our hearts and our minds? And as we kind of consider this whole thought, that the Lord's Supper helps us to look back, look around, and look forward, what's in our hearts and minds as we're doing that? So before we take the meal, I want to provide a meditation in doing that. We're going to look back in gratitude for Jesus' death, his suffering. We're going to look around at one another in thankfulness that we don't have to take this journey alone, and we're supposed to share in this adventure together. And then we're going to look forward until that second return that draws us back into eternal fellowship with God, which will never be broken again. So, what I want to do is ask you to close your eyes, get comfortable, and allow me to take us on a journey, remembering that the Lord's Supper serves as a foretaste of our great banquet prepared for us. It reminds us that the only basis of our hope is participating in this meal with Jesus. So for a moment, look back. Take a moment to think back to the suffering and the death of Jesus for you, for us. Be with Jesus through his suffering. Walk with him. Walk with him as people scream and spit on him, as he carries the cross, as the crown of thorns is placed on his head. Be with him in the suffering and the agony. But as you consider that, looking back, also think back to any suffering, any sort of death that you've experienced. Allow Jesus to walk with you through it. Because one thing we know about the suffering and death of Jesus is it joins us together. We join with Jesus in his suffering, and he joins with us through ours. Take a moment and look back. Take a moment to look around. In your mind's eye, take a moment to consider all those who Jesus encountered while on earth. The lame, the sick, the poor, adulterers, tax collectors, family, friends, the disciples. The meal he instituted was for all. He died for all. Now consider all those you take this meal with. See their faces. Connect with them. Love them as Christ loves them. See the faces of those you might consider an enemy, someone maybe you just don't like. They sit at the table with you because this is a table of fellowship. Look around. Now deeply breathe in, looking forward. Look forward to the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, experience the new heaven and the new earth descending upon us, and see the Father seated at his table. See Jesus sitting at his right hand. See the table that God has prepared for you, for us. Thank God for loving us and waiting patiently for us. He wants us to join him. Who do you not see at the table that you want to see there? Maybe that you don't want to. Ask God to help you reach out to them and invite them to the kingdom banquet. Imagine the day when we can all sit at this table. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more waiting. Just the presence of God's love forever. Look forward. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. We now ask you to come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Amen.